Let us turn to the book of Ephesians, or the epistle, the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 6. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians. He said, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Praise God. With the help of the Lord, the title of the message today is The Indivisible Inheritance, the Blessing of the One God. What is our inheritance? What did we inherit? What we inherited cannot be divided. Amen. Everything else can be divided except God. Hallelujah. King Solomon wanted to divide a child into two to test to see who is the real mother. The real mother said, "No, do not divide this child." We should be like this mother. We will not receive a divided God in Jesus' name. Ah, somebody say amen. We don't want a God that you can divide in the name of Jesus. The true mother said, "No, don't divide this child." We do not have a God who can be divided. Other people can take the divided God, call them Trinitarians or polytheists or whatever. But we, hallelujah, see, to us there is one God, Paul said. Amen. We are the people who cannot believe in more than one God. It's not possible for us. We believe in one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Praise God. No one has two fathers, and no one can have more than one God. It is the greatest fallacy, the greatest lie, the greatest deception that Satan has managed to perpetrate in the world, that there is more than one God. It is the original sin. How can we continue to perpetrate the original sin? We lost the Garden of Eden because we wanted to divide God. Do we want to risk everything, our souls, eternity, and hell, by refusing to believe in the greatest of all commandments? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Hallelujah. Reject the divided God. Resist the divided truth. The truth we have is one. The Father we have is one. Even medical science tells us you cannot have more than one father. The proof is in your DNA. Amen. In our spiritual DNA, there is a proof that our Father is one, because we received one spirit of one God, crying, "Abba, Father." Hallelujah. And who is that Father? Let's say his name today. Jesus. Hallelujah. Yahshua. Hallelujah. We have no other Father. This is the only God who will save us. The only name which he gave to the angel to come and to share with us in this world. Praise God. The greatest message, the greatest email, the greatest SMS this world received is that God himself, hallelujah, was coming to live with us. His name is Jesus. You will never get a greater message than this in Jesus' name. There is no greater message than this. His name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. Did you get this message? Did you get this email? Did you get this letter? Praise God, in Jesus' name. We reject the divided God. We reject the divided truth. To us, say there is only one God. Hallelujah. Who is above us all? Who is through us all? Who is in you all? How many gods are in us? Say one God. Let's talk about this one God. To say one God is not an abstract concept. It's not something theologians sit and debate the whole day because it's very complex. It is a living truth, praise God. Only those who feel the one God, those who have seen him with their spiritual eyes, who feel him with their spiritual hands, those who know, hallelujah, this God, they boldly say, he is one. He alone is God. Praise God. This is the most important doctrine, brothers and sisters. Anyone who rejects it cannot know God, cannot get salvation. So we need to pay attention to this truth. I said last week, it's like a child that goes away from the mother for a little while, but the child returns. In the same way, we also may go into other areas of the doctrine of our God, but we are never far away from the one God doctrine. We always come back quickly because all truth comes from this one God doctrine. It is the foundation of truth. Hallelujah. Never leave it. Never go far from it. In Jesus' name. So it's not just to acknowledge, to submit to it. It has consequences for our lives and our future. You know, if a person believes that the earth is not round, it's not oval, it's flat, it's false. But you know what? You can still have a good life. You can still have many friends. You can still become rich or whatever dreams you may have. But that is not the case with the doctrine of the one God. If a person does not believe that God is one, indivisibly one, it has serious consequences on our lives. Praise God. So today, I want to talk about the one God doctrine from another perspective. I want to use some case studies, if you will. Look at some people, some events, something that happened. And through that, we can appreciate the one God doctrine. The first is, in the days of the prophet Moses, the children of Israel reached a point one day where Moses stopped them. He said, we have to decide today. We cannot go one inch forward. We have to decide whether you believe in one God or more than one God. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 39. Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moses, chapter 32 and verse 39, it says, see now that I, somebody say I, God is always an I, he's not we. He said, I, even I am he, and there is no God with me, in Jesus' name. Can we say amen and amen and amen? Praise God. He said, I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Praise God. So, what happened? You know the story. Let me just recap quickly. Moses went up to the mountain. For the first time in this world, God was going to write something and give it to his prophet Moses for his people. The first time. What a great honor. Because it was such a great honor, Moses was expected to fast. You know, when God is going to bless you and give you the greatest thing he has, his own commandments, it's good to fast. That's why we fast before the Lord's Supper. Because what a great privilege to partake of the flesh and blood of our Lord Jesus. But what happened? Well, what happened was God allowed Moses to be there for long because it was a test to show what is in the heart of the people. God cannot have a people who do not believe that he is one. He will expose it. You know, in the Bible, whenever God waits, he waits on purpose because he knows the evil will come out. You remember the time God waited? He told King Saul to wait for 7 days. Why 7 days? It's a number of perfection. It's a number of holiness. It's a number of the perfect test. And you know what? Saul could not wait for 7 days. He was exposed. Let me say this to us, brothers and sisters. No matter how long it takes for Jesus to come back, we will not stop believing Jesus is the only one God. Hallelujah. Amen. Even if it will take 5,000 more years and we were to live for 5,000 years on this earth, which will not happen, we must wait. Don't begin to jump to conclusions. Jump to say maybe the one God doctrine is not the true doctrine. Let me go and join the Trinitarians. Let me go and dance with the golden calf. God have mercy in Jesus' name. Say with me, however long it takes for Jesus to come back, however few people we may be, we will never, ever wait for more than one God. Hallelujah. I am waiting for the one God of Moses. I'm not waiting for another, a God which Aaron is going to make with his own hands. You see, God was testing them. They failed the test. You know, the moment God is testing us, the devil says, you see, why don't you join the Trinitarians? There are many. Most of the people are with the Trinitarian. And Aaron has become the Trinity pastor, the pastor of the Trinity Church. I'm just using an example. See, God knows what is in our hearts. Are we serious one God believers? Or are we waiting for the one God to tarry, to wait, to somehow procrastinate, to postpone his coming? And then we say, let's join. We don't know what happened with this Moses. Aaron, please. Do you know Aaron did not make an image of one God, Egyptian God, Hathor, the bull? No. He told them, behold, Israel, these are your gods. Notice what he said. These are your gods, plural, not one. So there you have it, right there. The children of Israel were corrupted. God knew their hearts were not right with him. God knew their heart was not right. So imagine Moses was coming down with the Ten Commandments. The first said, you shall have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. And poor Moses, he saw that they have all these false gods. They were not one, there were many. Moses was so mad. I've always said, isn't it, that how can you give people 10 commands when they're breaking the first command? Look at Exodus chapter 32 and verse 4. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 4. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, plural, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. These be thy gods. We have to choose. God will always bring us to Mount Sinai. Before he takes you to heaven, before you go to the land of Canaan, he will bring us to the Mount of Sinai because he wants to know. Do you believe that three gods brought you up out of sin, or one God delivered you out of Egypt? Apostolic people, we believe only one God delivered us from sin. His name is Jesus. No one else. There is no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. So then why do you use the word Trinity? Why do you mention three persons in a so-called Godhead? If you believe that there is no other name, why do you use the name Trinity? Why do you use Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Why? There is no answer. So, we have to remember who delivered us from Egypt. Who delivered us from sin? Say Jesus. Who brought us out of Egypt? Say Jesus. Who will take us to the promised land? Say Jesus. Hallelujah. So that day Moses had enough. God had enough. It has to be decided. Hallelujah. The gods of Egypt did not bring you out of Egypt, Aaron, Israel. Why do you lie? What an insult to God. What ingratitude. Imagine somebody delivers you from death and you end up thanking five other people and not the one person who delivered you. It's a great sin. We will be faithful to Jesus. We owe Jesus everything. We know that. Will we be Judases? Will we lie about what we have seen, what we heard, what was done to us? No. These be not your gods, Egypt, who delivered you, who brought you out of Egypt. No. We spit on those gods in Jesus' name. Give us the name of the God who delivered us from sin. Why do you deny his sufferings? Who was beaten for us? Who was crucified for us? Who was killed for us and rose up the third day? Father, Son, Holy Ghost? What? Say his name. His name is Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. Who suffered for us? Who paid the price for us? Say his name. They don't want to say his name. But they have so many other names. So many other names. No, 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 Israel. These be not thy gods. They did not bring you up out of Egypt. They kept you in Egypt for 430 years. It was Jehovah, it's Jesus, who destroyed their power and their chains, who brought 10 judgments. Who delivered us from sin? Say Jesus. Who will deliver this world from the Antichrist? Who will destroy the Antichrist at Armageddon? Who will save even the people of this world from their suffering at that time? Say Jesus. He is the desire of all nations. Praise God. Praise God. Do you still desire him? So let's put it this way. Today, through this message, so to speak, I bring you before the mountain to decide. I'm speaking to also people who hear on the podcast, different parts of the world. You cannot just walk with this God without saying he is one. Shema Israel, Elohim Adonai, Elohim Echad. What God do you serve? What number is he? How many is he? Our inheritance is the undivided God, because he was manifested in the flesh. Praise God. He, Jesus, suffered and died for us. He rose up the third day. He sent the Holy Ghost in his name, because he is the Holy Spirit. He is the Father. As the Father, he created us. As the Son, he died for us. As the Holy Spirit, he indwells us. But this is the same God, one God. Hallelujah. No distinction in him. As the Nicene Fathers said, and the Council of Constantinople. None of that has anything to do with the Bible. They don't know God. The God of the Bible keeps repeating, keeps reiterating that he is the only one God. See, there is no God beside me. Praise Jesus. We are going back to our foundation. Blessed are you if your foundation is sure. The wind will blow, the storms will blow. The house was built upon the rock. What is the rock? Say, the one God is the rock. Hallelujah. Even Peter said it. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It means you are the flesh and the blood of Jehovah. Jehovah never had flesh and blood, but now he has flesh and blood. That's why Jesus said your name will be Petros. Because this is a rock. This is our foundation. What is your foundation? My foundation and the foundation of Peter, that's why it's called Petros, is that Jehovah, the one God who was spirit, has now put on flesh and blood. He is one God, spirit, flesh, and blood. He cannot be separated or divided. This is Petros. This is a rock. You are the Christ, the Son of the... You know who said this? The Father said it. He only used the mouth of Peter. Let us say what the Father is saying about himself. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. He allows the Son to speak, and then the Son allows the Father to speak, and they're saying the same thing. This is the one God. Spirit, flesh, and blood. Don't divide him. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Who's saying this? The man who talked to God. Who are you? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. God is in a body. And in that body, his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. You want to meet God? Look for his body. He is in that body and he is everywhere else. But you cannot just go to God alone as spirit and say, God, who is spirit? He will say, can I talk to you from my son, Jesus? Let's meet then. Let's meet. When somebody wants to meet an invisible God, you know what he says? Let's go and meet. I have an appointment with you. Where? This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Hallelujah. Where is the meeting point with God today? Say, Jesus Christ, find the body of God. Hallelujah. Go to Bethlehem in search of the body of God. Go to the cross, ask for the body of God. And stand and look up to heaven to receive the body of God when he shall return soon. Hallelujah. Because we know that God is in his body now. His name is Jesus, Yehoshua. Hallelujah. And we rejoice at this truth. Praise God. Let's continue. So, Moses made it clear that day. He stopped them. Who is on the Lord's side? Who believes in one God? Because I cannot go forward. It's very dangerous to walk with people who don't believe in one God. When you go to pray, they will make an idol. Suddenly they will say, oh, Trinity, Trinity. You know what they do? You say, let's pray, and then they will let you pray. And then when you turn around, suddenly, before that, they were saying one God, one God. When you go to pray and come back, they're already worshiping three gods. This is a problem. This is a problem. You have to know who you are traveling with. Because these people will take you back to Egypt. Only the God who delivered you from sin is worthy of worship. Only he can take you to heaven, isn't it? He had power to deliver you from Egypt. That same God only has power to take you to. The moment you worship the gods of Egypt, then the Pharaoh of Egypt will come back and take you. How did Pharaoh lose his power? Because the God of Israel destroyed him, took away his power. Do you know that the Pharaoh was himself an Egyptian god? So if you begin to worship Pharaoh, of course Pharaoh will have power over you. But if you worship the one God of Israel, Pharaoh has no power. Where do we want to live, brothers and sisters? Do we want to live in the land of many gods, Egypt? Or do we want to go to the land of Israel where there is only one God? Only those who believe in one God can live in the Holy Land. When Israel did not believe in one God, he cast them out. Which land are we going to? Say, I'm going to that city which John, the beloved apostle, was invited to. And Revelation chapter 4, verse 2 says, he heard the voice and come up hither. And when he came, he said, I saw one throne and I saw one sitting on the throne. Oh, hallelujah. If a person is looking for three gods, I guarantee you 100%. Heaven is not that place. The New Jerusalem is not that place. I think you're looking for another city. It's not the heaven or the New Jerusalem of the Bible. You made a mistake. Because over there, you'll only find one God, one throne, one God. You will be very disappointed. So which city are you looking for? Maybe some other city. I don't know, Jericho or Lachish or something. But the New Jerusalem we are going to, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are, there is only one God, one throne. So I don't know where you're going. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let us go to the city of one God. Let us go. The future is one God. The past is many gods. The future is one God. Praise God. So Moses refused. He settled it right there and then. We should be like Moses. We must challenge people around us. Excuse me. Why are you traveling with me? Because I'm afraid to travel with people who, when I turn around, I go to pray to God, I come back, and you have now some new gods. And you want to take the people back to Egypt. We have to be careful. We have to ask questions in Jesus' name. Praise God. So you know what Moses did? He crushed those gods. He wiped them out. He destroyed them. You know why? Because if they are gods, they should defend themselves. They cannot defend themselves. How can a God who cannot defend himself defend you? Let him first defend himself. He could not take them out of Egypt 430 years. And now you want to give glory to these gods? So Moses trashed these gods, slapped them around, crushed them to show them, this is rubbish. This is what I will do to your gods. Then he, you know what he did? He crushed it. He made it into a golden milkshake of sorts, not even milkshake, smoothie of sorts. And he gave them to drink. He gave them their gods to drink as a smoothie. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, 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 God. Imagine drinking your God. And then he goes out the other end. What kind of God is that? I don't know how what happens if you drink gold. Maybe their stomachs were damaged. I don't know. In other words, their gods came out as dung in the desert. Where are the gods of Egypt? Oh, you'll have to look for them in the toilet. Sorry to use this language, but you understand what God is doing. They are rubbish. How do you worship rubbish? Another time, it was Gideon who took the brass serpent. The children of Israel began to worship the brass serpent of Moses. He destroyed it. He called it Nehushtan. This is the rubbish. For us, all other gods are rubbish. They have no power over us. We are not afraid of them in the name of Jesus. They cannot even defend themselves. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There is only one God to us. We fear only one God. His name is Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. Praise God. But if we hear the names of other gods, we want to spit. We will treat them like Moses treated them. Say, brother, you're a fanatic. Well, God loves fanaticism sometimes. Amen. When it comes to one God doctrine, don't be lukewarm. He told the church of Laodicea, you are neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. I will vomit you, spew you out of my mouth. I don't want that to happen. Let's continue. Now, let's come to the second case study. So in the first case study, I showed you Moses at the foot of Mount Sinai. We have to decide. We are not going 1 inch forward or 1 inch back. One God or many gods? Which one? Praise God. What a glorious moment. God bless Moses. God bless Moses. You know, whatever Moses did, he did with all his heart. When he saw the Egyptian mistreating his people, he took action with all his heart. When he defended the one God doctrine, he did it with all his heart. One man challenging 2 million people. Now that is bravery in Jesus' name. That is to be brave. 2 million people, except for Joshua. They're all worshiping these false gods. They've almost become demon-possessed. Moses doesn't care. Sometimes we are more than Moses and Joshua, brothers and sisters. We are more than Moses and Joshua. There are two people fighting the whole of Israel. But everybody else believes in the Trinity. Well, everybody else believed in false gods. Are you going to join them? Never, in Jesus' name. We will be on the side of Moses. We will say till we die, Shema Israel Elohim Adonai Elohim Echad. Hear Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. For us, there is only one God. His name is Jesus. Praise God. He came in flesh and blood. Do you want to be like Moses? Or do we want to be like those one of those 2 million faceless people? What a shame for Aaron. God bless him, but what a shame. That's why the Jews say from Moshe to Moshe, there is no one like Moshe. Praise God. May you be famous for defending the one God doctrine. That is the greatest honor. Hallelujah. What is the use of being a great fighter and you kill 1,000 with the jawbone of a donkey and then you lose everything? It is better to be famous for defending, for saying, I will fight for the truth. I will fight for the name of Jesus, the truth of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be that kind of a warrior in Jesus' name. Praise God. And Moses was that kind of a warrior. Moses was no longer trying to kill people and fight them. He's fighting in the spirit. He's raising up his hands when Amalek came. He realized the spiritual battle is the biggest battle. Hallelujah. To fight for the one God truth is the greatest battle. Let's go now from Mount Sinai to Moab, today Jordan. Here is a woman by the name of Ruth. She needs no introduction. Imagine, how many women today are having the name of a woman from Jordan? She's not even Jewish. She's from the Arab country of Jordan. So when you use the name Ruth, you have an Arab name. Can somebody say, oh, I didn't know. We need to stop discriminating against Arabs in Jesus' name. Her name is Ruth. She is from Moab. Moab is in Jordan. And they are Ishmaelites, which means Arabs. Get comfortable with that. God is no discriminator of people. Hallelujah. So people are going around with the name Ruth and somehow thinking it has no connection with the Arabs. Hallelujah. What happened? Here is an Arab lady. She's looking at the Jews talking. Naomi. She said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. And the Arab woman is looking at her and thinking, oh my goodness. Are these the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Are these the children of the promise? And we think that God was cursing Ishmael. No, no, no. This is a blessed daughter of Ishmael. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Today you're hearing a different message. Yeah? Let me tell you, it is true. Peter had to learn. God is no discriminator of persons. Wherever he finds people who love him, Arab or whatever you may be, he will bless you. So the Jewish woman called Naomi was complaining. She's bitter. What kind of an example is she? Do you know what she told Ruth? She said, go back to your gods. Can you imagine that? What? Excuse me? Go back to my gods? Did you just say that? No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Don't speak this way. Christian, don't tell anybody to go back to their religion. Don't tell anybody to go back to nonsense in the name of Jesus. Do you know we say strange things? These people who are supposed to represent the God, the one God of Moses, she is actually supposed to be the champion of the one God. But she begins to tell her, no, you know, don't be with me. I have nothing to give you, etc., etc. Go back to your gods. Go back to your people. What? How dare you say that? What a shame. What an example to the God of Israel. So here, I need to, you know, emphasize this. Because Christian, when you are weak, when you have had problems, be careful what you say. Look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. Ruth 1:15 says, she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Jesus, have mercy. When I read this, I want to cry. What? A one God believer, a daughter of Abraham, a daughter of Moses, is saying to her daughter-in-law, go back to your gods. Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, have mercy. Never. Be quiet, Jesus. You do not own my soul. You will not tell me to go back to the gods of Egypt and the gods of Moab. By the way, don't forget that the God of Ishmael is the same God as the God of Abraham. Are you forgetting? I'm a daughter of Ishmael. My God is also one God. And there she made that famous statement, praise God. Entreat me, verse 16, Ruth 1:16. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Oh, hallelujah. This is not just loyalty to Naomi. This is a conscious embrace of the one God of Israel. This is a rejection of the many gods of Moab in the name of Jesus. It's not about family. It's about eternity. It's about God. Hallelujah. That day, Naomi realized Ruth is not following her. She's following the God of Israel. In Jesus. Never tell anybody to go back to their religion. Tell them, come to the one God who made you in his image, who put on flesh and blood and to save you. Come to him. Don't come to me, come to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, Ruth was a very wise woman. She did not want to be alone with the one God doctrine in Moab, because they all believed in many gods. Why should I be in that country? If there is no church here, she said, I will go to where the church is. Amen. My soul is more important than everything else. You think I'm more interested in, I was with you because of the husband who died? No, no, no. The one God is everything. People come and go. Countries come and go. But the one God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Follow him in life. Follow him. Doesn't matter which country we go to or where we. For us, Jesus is God. Hallelujah. We know no other God. We love Jesus. Ruth lived that way. She was saying, I think there are many people who believe in one God in Israel. So I want to be with them. Hallelujah. She chose to leave behind the comfort, the familiarity of her own culture to become part of a people dedicated to serving one God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Because of that, God blessed him. The people who believe in one God, they enter the Holy Land. They are the ones, hallelujah, who get the blessing. Okay, Moses was punished. But don't forget, Moses entered the promised land. In the book of Matthew 17, you can read. He was on the mountain in the Holy Land. Where is he standing? Joshua, who never worshipped those false gods, he entered. See, the consequence. It has consequences. Ruth said, I will never leave one God. And she became the ancestor of King David, the great-grandmother of King David. Oh, hallelujah. God will bless you tremendously if you believe in the one God doctrine, if you never leave it. Hallelujah. All my blessings come from this belief that Jesus is the one God. All my blessings. And I keep getting them all the time. I know where they're coming from. I know the source. Hallelujah. Do you know the source of your blessing? Amen. Say, we refuse the divided child. Because if you divide the child, there is nothing, only death. Give me only one God or nothing. Praise God. One God. One God is sufficient for me. Praise God. So Ruth was living in her blessing. What is her blessing? One God. Which house is she living in? The house of the one God. What life is she living? The life of the one God. Live in your one God blessing. Praise God. Praise Jesus. This is our blessing. Let them say what they want. For us, there is no division of God. It's the biggest sin and the biggest lie in the world. God is indivisibly one, mathematically one. Jesus told the scribe, when the scribe said, "What is the greatest command?" "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Mark chapter 12, verse 29 onwards. And you know what the scribe said? "Well, master, thou hast answered well. There is only one God, and there is none other but He." Somebody say, "He." The Jews don't know a concept of Trinity. Jesus was there. He told him, "There is none other but He." If he was wrong, Jesus would correct him. Excuse me. You know, when I say He, I mean three persons and some sort of a committee called the Trinity. No such nonsense in the Godhead. None other but He. In Matthew 19:4, what did Jesus say? Have you not read the scripture? "He who made them in the beginning." Somebody say, "He." "He who made them in the beginning." How many gods? One God. Who is Jesus? The same God. Oh, hallelujah. The same God. If you understand this, you won't be confused about the Bible. When he says, "Have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." Do you know the apostles saw the Father? When? In Jesus. Because Jesus is the Word made flesh, and in that flesh dwells the Father. So the only way to see the Father is through the Father's own body. Say, does God have a body? Yes. His own body. He said, "My beloved Son." Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. This is the one God doctrine. Let's go to another story from the New Testament this time. The prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32. You know this story. I don't need to read it, but have you thought about this? Here is a son. Yeah. He's living in the father's house. If you ask anybody who knows the Bible, if you say, "What is this parable pointing to? What is it a type and shadow teaching of?" It was, of course, the father is God. Ah, thank you. So, how many gods were there in the house? Have you thought about it? Everybody knows this father is God. So, was he living in that house with two more gods? How many gods were in that house? Can we say one father? One father. The son left the father and he came back to the house of the father. How many fathers hugged him? Three? God have mercy. One God. We are going to live in heaven with one God, one Father. When Jesus said, "In my Father's house," who is that Father? It's Him Himself. "Have I been so long time with you? Hast thou not known me, Philip?" When John went to heaven, he saw one throne and one sitting on the throne. How do I know Jesus is the Father? Because he said, you know, "In my Father's house." So they think there is another God called the Father. But listen, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Amen. Hallelujah. Who makes a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem? It's Jesus. So he must be the Father. Huh? Who is building the new heaven and the new earth? Who is making the new Jerusalem? Who's building? It's Him. So who is the Father that we are going to live with? Say Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Trinitarians are afraid. But you know, if we pay attention, too much attention to Jesus, we may disappoint the Father and the Holy Ghost. Listen, if you don't pay enough attention to Jesus only, you will disappoint Jesus. Amen. Because there is no other God beside him. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is only one God. Stop the confusion. If you say Jesus, you have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. There's no other God outside of Jesus. Hallelujah. Which Holy Ghost did you get? The Spirit which says Abba, Father, isn't it? And what did Paul say about it in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6? Have you read Galatians 4, verse 6? Right there, you will know who the Father is and the Holy Ghost. What did it say? Let's read Galatians 4, 6. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son. Huh? Just a moment. So, who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost has been called the Spirit of His Son. Ah, so Jesus has a Spirit? Yes, it's called the Holy Spirit. Oh, I thought it was the third person. No, 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 no. Leave that language alone. Use biblical language. The Spirit of His Son. Okay, so I received actually the Spirit of Jesus. And what is it saying? It's saying, Abba, Father. To who? To Jesus. Amen. So, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into us. And then the Holy Spirit says, Abba, Father. You know why? Because now we are beginning to understand the mystery of who the Father is. Hallelujah. So when a person gets the Holy Ghost is telling you Jesus is the Father. John 16, verse 25. Look at John 16, 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. That means it's a bit difficult to understand. But the time comes when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. What? That means a day is coming. Which day? When you get the Holy Ghost, then you will know who the Father is. Are you with me? Oh. So right now, that's why we are struggling with this language. Father, Son, Father. Yes. He said, I spoke to you in Proverbs. But in that day, when the Holy Ghost will come, hallelujah, you will know who the Father is. Because he says in verse 26, at that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. You see? Because when the Holy Ghost comes, you will know who the Father is. That is Jesus. And then you don't need to pray to the Father or anybody else. Just pray in the name of Jesus. Is it making sense in Jesus' name? Oh, hallelujah. That is why sometimes we struggle with people because they need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of Jesus will make it clear to them who the Father is. That the Father is Jesus. Because you receive the Spirit of the Son. And that Spirit is saying, Abba, Father. To who? To Jesus. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is saying again, have I been so long time with you? And you do not know me? But it was Proverbs. Somebody say Proverbs, 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 Proverbs. The Holy Ghost destroys the Proverbs, praise God. Opens our eyes to see Jesus. He is the Father manifested in the flesh. This is the greatest truth in the universe, brothers and sisters. You can put together all the knowledge of this world. It doesn't even come up to the soul of this truth. Hallelujah. A person must be at peace with this truth before you do anything else in this world. You have to know the God who made you, the God in whom you live and move and have your being, the God who has power over your life. The God who said, fear the one who after he has thrown your body into hell can also destroy your soul. Fear the one who is Lord of the day of judgment. Fear him. Know him. Be at peace with him. Hallelujah. This is what we are doing. Amen. Can you say Jesus is the Father? Can you say when I say the name Jesus, I have the Holy Ghost? When you say Jesus, you have the fullness. Say the fullness The fullness of the Godhead. All that is God is in the name Jesus. You don't need any other name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the prodigal son left the house of one father and he came back to the house of one father. Who is that father? His name is Jesus. Praise God. Have we not one father? Has not one God created us? Malachi 2 verse 10. In that day there shall be one Lord. His name shall be one. Zechariah 14:9. The prophets never lie. The apostles never lie. We are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And they're all saying the same thing. Show me which prophet said there is three in one. God is three. Which prophet? Remember, our foundation is not just apostles. But even apostles, show me where the apostles said we have three persons in the Godhead existing as one. Which apostle? Well, I can give you so many scriptures saying what Paul said. 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. John is saying, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Why do you reject the testimony of John? The beloved apostle is saying this. Hallelujah. Make peace with the fact that Jesus is the only God. That's why he said all power. Somebody say all power. You see, if you don't believe that Jesus is the one God, then how can you believe that he alone has all power? That means the Father and the Holy Ghost, if they are separate persons, they have lost power. Are you with me? So if Jesus is saying all power, it means he's the only God. There's no other God outside of him. If there are other gods, they don't have power. Elijah waited and waited till all the gods' names were mentioned to see if they have any power. He said, continue. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe you can wake him up with your noise. Please wake your God up. Remind him. We need to see his power. You know, when all the gods were called and none of them had power, then he called on the name of the one God, Ha, of Israel. Shema Israel, Elohim Adonai. This God showed he has all power. You know what God did at that time? He blocked all the demons. He bound them. He put chains on all of them. We believe in one God. His name is Jesus. He has all power. Hallelujah. 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 Billion times hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Finally, let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 34. The story of Jesus with the demonic man. Do you know that demonic people or people filled with demons, they always knew that Jesus is the one God? they were telling everybody. They were telling everybody. They said, we know you who you are. The Holy One of Israel. Can you imagine? What else do you need? You know, demons lie, of course, we know that. But let me tell you, in Luke chapter 4, verse 34, they said, let us alone. See, let us, because there are many. But what have we to do with you, with thee? You are one. You, Jesus of Nazareth. Are you come to destroy us? I know you, who you are, the Holy One of God. You know what is happening? I am not an expert in this field, and I'm very happy for that. But I've seen some documentaries of what the intelligence services like the CIA, Mossad, you know, they torture people. You know, they torture people. When you are being tortured to get the truth out of you, this is not a good example, but when they are waterboarding and using these advanced techniques, special renditions, I'm telling you, the truth will come out. So the demons, when Jesus came in, they were being tortured. It's like the CIO banging their heads down and suddenly, we will tell the truth. Jesus, we know you who you are. The truth came out, brothers and sisters, because they thought he was sending them to hell. Maybe Jesus showed them hell. They couldn't lie. We know you. You are the one God of Israel. Oh, hallelujah, man. It's like the terrorist has spoken. Now we know where to find the rest. This is what, sorry to use this language, but you see, the demons were being tortured by Jesus and they spoke the truth. You are the one God. Never before in the history of demons did they proclaim such a truth. It was the first thing. It was the first. Even demons can tell the truth. They were in the house of God in the synagogue. God himself came there. He looked at them. They were being tortured. Oh, what have we to do with you? We know demons are tortured, isn't it? When you lay hands on a demon, what happens? Ah, you can see them. Oh, it's like you took them into the CIA torture room. And now the appropriate techniques were applied upon them and the truth came out. And the people in the synagogue are listening. What? We know this man, Jesus of Nazareth. He grew up with us. What did the demon say? No. What? They're crazy. You see, Nazareth refused to believe who Jesus is. Before Jesus preached, the demons preached the greatest truth. Before Jesus preached, the first person to actually declare Jesus when he started his ministry, before he started his ministry, is the demons. Jesus had testimony from angels when he was born. He had testimony from Anna, from Simeon, and now he has testimony from demons. At the name of Jesus, somebody said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, including demons. Every tongue, say tongue. I think demons have tongues. They speak. Whatever their tongue looks like, they will also say, Jesus is God. Hallelujah, praise God. Amen, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So Jesus was even, demons confessed that he's the one God. Hallelujah. No demon ever told Jesus he's a member of the Trinity. It doesn't exist. So normally, you know, for thousands of years, demons would tell, humans had to tell demons, please leave this person, leave us alone. But for the first time in their history, demons were begging one man, leave me alone. Leave us alone. What? You never left anybody alone. How come now? Here is a man who all the demons are begging, please leave us alone. Demons never leave anybody alone. He must be God. They confessed, have you come to torture us before our time? Jesus said it. In hell, people will be tortured. These guys are confessing, please, we know we will be tortured, but not now. Now we have been released out of prison. We are on probation. Please let us enjoy our probation. You can take us back later and torture us. What have we to do with you? Of course, you have nothing to do with them because you are evil, and you have everything to do with them because you're evil. But you see, they declared the one God doctrine so clearly. This is the same Jesus who saw them being kicked out of heaven. And now he came back to be with them. They're saying, what have we to do with you? Well, you have been interfering in the ministry of Jesus. That's the problem. Now he came to put them on notice. Their time is up. It was his ministry. You know, it always saddens me. No demon argues with Jesus. He kicks them out immediately. Have you noticed Jesus is very harsh with demons? He demonstrates his full power over them. But with human beings, he argues with them. They disrespect him. They trouble him. He is so good, Jesus. He's so good. He is so good. If he were to treat humans as demons, we would be finished a long time ago. But because he loves us, he loves us. Hallelujah. We refuse to obey him. We argue with him. Look at Jonah. He doesn't even love the people he has to witness to. Imagine if Jesus tells me to go to a city to preach there, and I refuse to even live in the hotel in the city. I say, I hate this city so much. I will not even book a hotel. I will go outside the city on a mountain, and I will wait to see the city destroyed. And still Jesus, God loves him. He's reasoning with him. Do you do well to be angry? Yes, I do well to be angry. Oh my goodness. If you were a demon, he would finish you. But because we are humans, can we lift his name, bless his name? There is no God like this God. Not only is he one, that is a wonderful, powerful truth, but he's worthy of all our love. That's why he commanded us, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You know, I used to wonder when I was new in the Lord, why does he give us such a command? It's natural to love you with all our heart. Why do you need to command us? I didn't understand. For me, it's not only natural, it's a sin not to love him with all your heart, mind, because I saw him. And I'm telling you, the first realization was love. This is a God of love. You will see, you will meet him. You will know what I'm speaking. I cannot have a dream or something which is going to make me experience such love. Impossible. This was a real experience. Even now I feel it. You can't get experience what I experience in a dream. Oceans of love, billions and billions of liters just of love, paralyzing. Can you be paralyzed with love? Yes, the love of Jesus. For me, that was heaven. Heaven is the love of Jesus. Once you experience it, nothing can disappoint you. I will be smiling to the grave in Jesus' name. Even when I'm interviewed by the journalists, they keep saying, no, this guy has been through many problems, but he's always lighthearted and smiling. You know why? Because I met Jesus. Nothing can disappoint. Nothing. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God. The love of Jesus. It from the Holy Spirit, you smile. It's powerful. My joy, your joy is not dependent on a human being. Doesn't matter what happens. It's not dependent on what you see. It is dependent on the God whom we worship in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to our Father's house. The one God who is the Father. He loves us. You know that Father's house was not the same when the son left. I believe Jesus' house is not the same. He's building it. It's not the same without us. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. It means the angels are looking at Jesus. They're saying he's preparing for his children. He loves his children. Oh, I want to cry. Praise God. What is he doing, our Jesus? He loves these children so much. He's preparing a house for them. He's thinking only of his children. This is our God. Are you thinking of living with him? Are you thinking of, we sing the song, come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house. He's a proud father. When we pray, let us tell him, Lord Jesus, thank you for the house you're preparing for me. I'm not worthy. I'm coming, Jesus. There was a woman, she was about to die. She was passing away, a Christian. You know what the pastor told her? He said, sister, when you go, please tell Jesus, I'm coming. I will also come. I will come to be with you. Praise God. This is where we are going. We are not going to be with each other here on this earth for forever. 10 years, 20, 30 years, it's a bonus. But I'm here to help you, and you are here to help me to make it to my Father's house. So when I get angry with people, with young people, it's because I want them to be in the Father's house. Well, why will you go with the wrong people? Why will you be with people who don't care about eternity? Why will you spend time with people who want to corrupt your soul? What is wrong with you? In Jesus' name. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Praise God. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Praise God. What is Jerusalem worth? What is the new Jerusalem worth for us? Everything. Say everything. Sell everything if necessary. Praise. Lay hands on it. Don't leave it in Jesus' name. So, the demons tremble. Somebody might say, why didn't Jesus accept the testimony of the demons? Never. We don't need demons to preach with us, because they are liars. When they are false, they tell the truth. But afterwards, they will attack. They will corrupt. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he saw this woman is following him, he cast out the demon in the name of Jesus. We don't need the testimony of demons. We don't need. That's why I'm saying to you, I started by saying, if there are people who don't believe in one God, we pray for them, we witness to them, but we are not going to be comfortable around you. We demand to know at some point, what do you say about Jesus? Is he the one God or what? And accordingly, we will decide. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Let us, and you know, I don't need to speak about the consequences. What happened when the son who left the father, he said, let me go back to the one God, because all the time he was with false gods, isn't it? What did the false gods do for him? They gave him death and destruction, nonsense, eating with pigs. The father will give you good things. But if you're not with your father, expect bad things, consequences. When he came home, he said, give him a new garment. Bring the fatted calf. Put a ring on him. Wow. See, to go back to the one God has consequences. In Jesus' name. Have you come back to the one God? He will give you nice clothes. He will give you nice food. Today I ate nice food because my son John turned 18. God bless him. Hallelujah. My father is always blessing me with the consequences of believing in one God. Hallelujah. But if you don't be surprised, you're eating with pigs. And when you believe in one God, demons leave. That is another consequence. James 2:19, believest thou there is only one God, thou doest well. The demons, the devils believe also and tremble. Some people are afraid of demons. In my house, I see shadows. Rebuke in Jesus' name, believe in one God, Jesus. You will never see shadows again. I live in a haunted house. If you believe in one God, you will haunt the demons. I'm telling you. They don't want to be near a person who believes in one God. I'm telling you. I remember I told the story years ago when I was doing my PhD in London. I was a poor student. I couldn't find a place to stay. My sister is a Muslim. They told me she has a nice big house, but nobody can stay there. I said, why? If you want, you can live there. Free. because nobody can live there. Suddenly the doors open and close. A ball is on the ground, football, it starts to bounce. People are running, they have seen all kinds of things. I said, that is the house for me. Please, this house has my name on it. Because I believe Jesus is the one God. You know what? It took 3 days of fasting and prayer. I knew there were demons. I could feel them. But you know what I did? I wake up, I sing songs in Jesus' name. I open the Bible. I remind the devil where he's going. And then I remind him where I am going. Hallelujah. I reminded him about his history. You were in the Garden of Eden. The devil, you have lost everything. You know, if you're speaking like this every day to the devil, he doesn't want to be with you. What? This guy is reminding me daily about my past and my future. I mean, I gave him no rest. I could feel, I know the demons are there. I told them, I promise you in Jesus, I will live here. You better find another house. It took 3 days. One day I woke up from a nap. I even could almost hear a voice saying, we are leaving, we are leaving. And the whole atmosphere changed. Boom. It's like it used to be cold. You can sense there is something. It became warm. It became beautiful. Afterwards, when my family members came, they saw the house is clean, beautiful. They wanted to come back. I said, no, no, no. If you come back, the demons will come back because you don't have the power. Amen. We believe in one God. His name is Jesus. No demons will be near you if you believe in this. So I'm speaking about consequences. Say consequences. It has consequences to believe in one God. Good consequences. Daniel believed in only one God. You see the consequences. Mene, mene, tekel, ufarsin. I could keep preaching the whole Bible. What destroyed Goliath? Say one God. David believed in one God. He said the same one God who destroyed the lion and the bear will also finish. Hallelujah. The Bible is a book of people who believe in one God and the story of their success with one God. In Jesus' name. Be blessed in the name of the one God, Jesus. There is no other God beside him. Hear, O Church of Jesus, thou shalt have no other gods beside Jesus. Hallelujah. We say amen. Can you bow your head and say amen and receive the blessing in Jesus' name? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this message. Lord Jesus, I bless your people in your name, the name of the one true God. Hallelujah, who delivered Israel from 430 years of torture and slavery and bondage. And you gave them freedom. You gave them a mighty name. You gave them, hallelujah, land flowing with milk and honey. And you came to that land in flesh and blood. And you paid the price for not only their sins, but our sins. And you rose up the third day. We love you, Jesus. We love you so much. I thank you that for the revelation that you are the Father yourself. Hallelujah. The one God manifested in the flesh. This is our pride. This is the greatest treasure we have. Let no one take it from us. Let no one dilute it in our lives. Let no one frighten this truth away from our lives in Jesus' name. And we pray for grace to witness about this great truth. We pray for grace to be bold as the apostles were bold, not to be ashamed in a wicked and adulterous generation, you say. Holy Jesus, you did everything for us. And you are building a house for us as a loving father should. My God, help us to do all we can to be worthy of that name, Jesus. Bless your people. Whatever the trials they're going through, let them wait for Moses to come down with the commands. Let them not serve other gods. Let them not go back to bondage and evil. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the joy and pride we have of being able to say, we believe in one God, whose name is Jesus. Hallelujah. All this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus of Nazareth. For those who believe in a Trinity, we pray that you remove the clouds of confusion. Let them see you clearly as the Father, the one God, in whom there's no division, no distinctions. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And the church says, Amen, amen.